OK, we're back for the next module here on Service Manager Release Management. And we'll kick it off. Chris, keep
great
going.
Thank you. So release management, just to touch on this briefly, is comprised of a series of activities that help a business take a change and actually implement it into the environment, but also link back to the change. So really, you know, the old adage is, you know, every change request may not be a release, but every release request usually gets hooked back into the change. So, you know, again, this is a supporting process, and it allows teams to act quite a bit more in an agile fashion so that they're not bound to the activities of the change itself. So they can run in parallel and then ultimately hook back in and support the change process in general, if that makes sense.
Okay. So you can have changes and releases kind of going on concurrently.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, just a few of the types of things that you see in a change there down the right-hand side of my slide. You know, the release planning, building, testing, preparation, deployment, and then ultimately hook back into a change review or something of that nature, maybe another activity within a change. So those are the types of processes that we want to keep isolated and allow the teams to work on dynamically so that it supports the change and it doesn't get in the way of the business. So with that, just to talk about a release is just simply a collection of built, tested, authorized, and implemented CIs. So the diagram there kind of shows it best. The release is the overriding aspect. The CIs are the components that roll up underneath. So the release package itself and is typically a component. It can also be a build. So I do like to highlight that release management, you know, it does follow kind of the SDLC, the software development lifecycle a bit, and you know, really flows well with that as well. So this doesn't have to be, you know, physical changes in the environment. This can support a software development bug fix project aspect as well. So very flexible to work with. And then lastly, before we hop in the demo, I just kind of want to make some relationships back to the change management process because we do tie in so deeply. Okay, so with change management, the process is really aligned directly to the, with release management, excuse me, the processes and activities align directly to the change management side. So, you know, again, approved changes maps directly over to that change management approval stage. That's typically where, you know, once we gather that approval and change, we're going to kick off the release side and step through its normal process flows. Release deployment relates back to the change management release cycle stage, if you will. And then the final aspect is the change review, and that's the piece that hooks back into what's called the PRI, the PIR, post-implementation review, and allows us to support that cycle as well. So very integrated modules between release and change, and they definitely support each other along the way.
And it's not always necessary, right, to have the release management, but it, yeah. Talk to me about that. I mean, is talking about ITIL and MOF best practices, I mean, should you always have a release and a change request?
Well,
this is kind of a personal
area for me. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. In my humble opinion, yes, if you have change, you should probably have a release management cycle as well. But I'll be the first to admit, that doesn't fit everybody's organization. So the tool is meant to really be flexible enough to work how you work. That's what it's all about. I don't want to, you know, make somebody use release if they don't need it. But they go hand in hand. And in my humble opinion, yes, it really helps the value of change management when you do effective release management. Mm-hmm. So it's a great question.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't have all the answers here. You're the expert. I'm asking. So, you know, just because I'm sure our audience is thinking about, like, well, what even if I have, let's say, simple requests that you maybe are even automatically approved, you know, having this whole extra
process.
Work to process and thing that happens that takes more time, you know, is that really worth it for me to do that?
Yeah, know? No, and that's a great question. I think that's one of the fundamental questions that organizations need to ask themselves. It's a maturity question, and it comes with time. Service Manager is a big product. I would say the majority of implementations, you know, don't implement every process day one. You have to grow into it, you have to understand it, and then mature those, and with that comes the other processes in hand.
Yeah, so makes sense. All right, well, it looks like you got some demo here to show us. some release management actions. So why don't we snap to that? Huh?
Absolutely. So we're within the release management module of Service Manager now, and really it's very straightforward. I can create a release record, and out of the box we have a default release record, a single one. You're going to grow this library over time, but let's just take that as our example. So release management looks, feels, smells a lot like change management, with a few key differences. So the main page here is very basic. It's exactly what you would expect to see. Title, description, type of release itself, category is a project, maybe it's a fix in this case. I can change my title, release of... So we're going to do a release that supports that standard change request that we saw in that original module. It's a bit overkill for a standard, but hey, let's play with it. Mm-hmm. So assign to, I can certainly go out and assign this to the individuals. That's doing, you know, an Active Directory lookup. We can also assign it to other third-party CIs as well, you know, that we import into the CMDB. So again, impact, you know, hopefully it's not significant. Let's call it a standard impact because our change is standard. We'll take a risk as low and a priority as medium. So some very basic metrics that we're going to be able to capture against that. Let's look at our release package. So release package, again, when we saw that, it's really, it can be a build. It can be a grouping of CIs. Ideally, you know, we have a business service defined that would allow us to, you know, educate everybody that's hooked in to the business service, each of the owners and users and consumers of that, that we are making a change to that. So that's very important. In this case, you know, we're going to pick on the same domain controller that we looked at before. Just move that up. And that's the item that we'll be changing. Now, here's where it gets fun, scheduling. So release is all about you know, orchestrating the members of your team to perform the duties that they need to with the information that they really require to get that done. So obviously we have different fields here than you saw in change. We have a require by. I get a great date picker. I can choose Friday the 26th that, you know, make that, you know, 2 a.m. Scheduled start end time, actual starts end times. If it causes downtime, we definitely want the business to know.
Yeah, and is there ways to that this ties into a diagram view? Let's say you have a bunch of different types of changes that are happening. Can you get a view of that and maybe even tie that in with some kind of project management type software?
No, that's a fantastic question. So basically, when you build the business service model in Service Manager, you're going to develop that diagram view. It's made up of the components and services and other aspects that are tied into the business service directly. So yes, you do get to see cross dependencies and future, you know, other changes and things like that. The trick, though, is putting it in a way that the business can really consume on the fly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you know, integrating like with SharePoint for a forward schedule of change or a forward schedule of release, forward schedule of activities, all comes into play. And then you can really start to do great things like bringing those into Outlook and meshing them together and start getting real clear visibility to what's happening in the environment. So
And those views and those customizations, is that available in change request and release? I mean, obviously you've got a lot more fields here with scheduling.
Yeah, definitely.
So is that available in both? Or
yeah, you know, the great thing is change request, there's a plethora of fields that are actually available that aren't on the form itself. So like we saw scheduled start, scheduled end time and change. Mm-hmm. Just like in release, we have actual start and actual end. Those are hidden kind of behind the scenes. They're easy to populate to the form. Mm-hmm. I believe you guys cover that in another module. But the idea is a lot of that base information is already there. It's just how we consume it, how we utilize it, and you know what it drives in our organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the causes downtime is a big one. This is, you know, that's a red flag to the change management board that this release is going into production at a specific time, and we're going to have a more than likely a production outage because of the downtime. Mm-hmm. And with that, they can, you know, then do the proper notifications out to the business, and people, you know, get informed and just mm-hmm. understand the impacts to what's really happening. The great thing is, you know, down below we have work, plan versus actual, and this is going to calculate and do our totals for us on the durations and even on costing and things like that. So it's great information to bring in, and it helps support the reporting and the process side to why, you know, we're doing all this, you know, what amounts to a good effort in, you know, the product itself. So let's look at our activity pane real quick. Just like activities within change requests, in this one in particular, we have none. So we need to add some activities. In this case, we're going to add some basic ones. I'm going to, you know, do a manual activity at first, and this could be testing. I could assign that out ahead of time or allow the groups to assign it themselves.
Oops. And this could, would this be where you might connect the change and release management?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Okay.
So let me show you how that's done. I haven't shown any parallel activities yet. I'll save that for the next module because
okay.
we can really do some dynamic
sure.
stuff. But I may want to have just a few items in here, and then the last one I'll throw in is our finalization. So. Here we'll say review of tested release. So very straightforward. I could again assign the approver and do all those things
yep.
ahead of time. And then lastly, I'll just have a manual activity release to production. Very straightforward. So at this point, I've got three activities. If I want to link that into my change request, all I have to do is right-click on the activity that is going to link. Link to change request activity, and we get a nice picker that pops up that pulls up the standard change request that we were creating in the last episode. I can choose that. We can see exactly what it's linking to, a dependent activity in this case, and I can say, okay, we now have the link icon. We get some great information just hovering over, but more importantly, that's going to support the change process. So if there was a post-implementation review at that point, we're going to hook right back in, not skipping a beat. Business is going to be able to do its job, and we go on our way.
Yeah, makes sense. So once that executes there in that release management, it's just they're updated at the same time, yeah?
Yeah, well.
Or kind of?
Kind of very near real time. The
near
workflow
real time.
The workflow has to run. And
Right. No, I mean,
yeah.
not like instantly, but
yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean. Like when it executes, it's going to update them,
Absolutely,
the
yeah.
other one. Yeah.
It's bound
it's
together.
Bound it's, together now.
Yep. So you got it. So. In this case, it's a very straightforward release. We test, we review it,
yep.
link it back to the change, and we're on our way. A few other of the supporting areas to talk about, really documentation. It's a great benefit. This is not in change management. You can obviously do the test, back out, so on and so forth in change, but within release, we actually have area to put some RT rich text documentation, which is very beneficial, and this helps support that process even more so for the future. When you develop it, of course you want to document it. Having a single repository and a place where people can go back over the past year, for instance, to pull up what did we actually do in this chain or in this release in this case. This is the spot to do it. We retain that information and keep it there for the longevity of the work item.
It's kind of like a version history of your work.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, hey, we updated this feature or that thing or this deal, and there it is. There's the whole log of it all.
Want it.
And then I'm guessing we could get wild and export the list of all of the documentation for all the past releases, and now you've got a
knowledge base
now
that you're automatically building.
A knowledge base
totally.
Or a, if you have a product, you have a list of changes you could put out to people or your internal folks of
yeah.
the change log of things that have gone on.
That
right?
happened, absolutely.
The releases,
yeah, it's really flexible. We can
okay.
do anything with this. So
yep. Okay.
Fantastic. We have no related items here, even though there is a relationship over to our change. That's fine. There is no incident or service request, for instance, that propagated this. We could certainly add one if we wanted to in the system. Those filter up, very easy to pick and choose.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say this incident was the one that made us realize that we needed to have a change in a release. And then ultimately, when we complete that workflow, we're going to have our implementation results. This mirrors change exactly, with the exception of we can customize the actual result field independently of change. So hopefully everything is successfully implemented. We do a post-implementation review, similar, again, very mirrored process to change itself. And, we're really off and running. A few things I haven't shown yet in either change or on the release management side is the history. So the history itself is a detailed record, audit record. This is really what this is. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty of what changed, when did it change, what did it change to, and who changed it. So this really becomes the change, you know, source for anytime a CI is updated or a work item is updated. We can see what happened, when it happened, who did it, and really get to the root cause of the issues in our environment. So that's a fantastic area, and that history and related items tab is on every module, every work item class, anything, any CI class that you can think of. So very detail oriented in that respect.
Great. So okay. Yeah. All right. So that covers release management. It sounds like we have a lot on getting the fundamentals of putting releases out there for folks to follow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. All right. Well, let's wrap that and go to the next one.
Great. Thanks.